Psalm 107, it says, "Let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." That's the Lord's promise. If your heart is open to him, he's going to fill you up. He's going to satisfy your greatest of needs. So let's go to him and celebrate his love for us and celebrate the love that he instilled in our hearts for one another today. Receive now this word of greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now extend a hand of loving fellowship to those around you this morning. As we come to God in worship, a part of that is realizing that we are not perfect and we are sinful creatures and we humble ourselves. We do that each and every day, depending on the Lord's grace. So I invite you to a time of confession and assurance in prayer with me now. Oh God in heaven, we come before you as your people. It's hard, oh Lord, to open our eyes and hearts and see the ways that we have failed you, but we know we do, Lord. There's no difference in your sight. We all have sinned. And apart from you, we are incapable of any good. And it grieves us to know what we are, who we are, and our sinfulness. But with gratitude, we can also confess today that your forgiving love for us, that we can come to you each day and offer our sins to you and receive your forgiveness. And so in the quiet meditations of our hearts, and in these words, Lord, we confess our sins to you. Forgive us, Lord, for not caring about the things which are important to you. Forgive us for the times that we have lost our tempers. Forgive us for laziness in our Christian lives. Forgive us for not demonstrating the fullness of self-sacrificing love. Forgive us for our callousness towards suffering or our envy of those who have more than we have. Forgive us for our hidden obsessions. Forgive us for not having complete confidence in your promises. And so, Lord, help us change our way of life that we may desire what is good, love what you love, and do what you command. And fill us with that assurance as we hear the words of Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. So, Lord, help us to receive that love and to offer our praises to you fully and freely, honoring you, the Lord of all creation and our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
My guilty soul, not what my toil.
say those words to the Lord, I'm sorry. But I don't know about you, but sometimes you still say, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough for God's love. I'm not good enough even perhaps for the love of those around me. But I want each of us to know today that, yes, we aren't good enough, but the Lord's love has come to us and it reaches out to us and it's there to bring us and give us life. We are worth it to Him. We are to also extend that life-giving love to others today. So know and feel God's love for you today. Open your heart and feel the prodding of God on your heart today as He wants you to experience and know His amazing love.
My chains are gone.
You may be seated, and children of worship, I invite you to follow the flag at this time. If you are a guest today, feel free to follow them. They're meeting down there, and parents can pick up their children at the end of worship. At the end of the hall there on the right is the room they will be in. And as they are gathering up, what is this coming Sunday evening? What's happening here? Dodgeball. All right. I heard one eager voice. All right. Now, don't let that throw you off. All right. We'll be working different ways of playing dodgeball, and there'll be dominoes, and there'll also be food. So if none of that other sounds interesting to you, at least you can come for the food, all right? There'll be plenty of food, 5 o'clock next Sunday night, and you can talk to any of the Connections team members if you have any questions about that. And also, there'll be a free will donation. We'll have some of the youth group members in nursery, and we're inviting free will donation for the food and for the nursery, and that's going to help them for their Serve Project fundraising. So, Tim has an announcement.
Anybody hear that first part I just said? Okay, thank you. I'm not going to go backwards on that. Anyway, we're listening to a lot of sermons, and tomorrow night we have 3 interviews with, through the Skype instrument. So we have that. We're trying to just get our toe in the water to some of these candidates to see if there is some potential. In the future, we'll be hearing more of these. Our Sam Hampshire's giving us about 2 a week that we have to go through and then evaluate So the committee's doing a good job on that piece. Is Bea here today? Bea's not here, but she's doing a marvelous job being our prayer leader with different inspirations and as she leads us in our meetings. So we're in prayer a lot. We look at that as we're God's instruments. We know as we go through this, we're pretty feeble in trying to understand who that best person is. And we can sort it out. We can go through it and do our work. But really, God is going to be the one who tells us who that person is going to be. But we're doing our due diligence on that. So just be in prayer for the committee as we keep working this through. We'll give continual updates so you know where we're headed, but 3 interviews tomorrow. We'll keep at it and get back to you.
Good morning. I am your new coffee leader, Jeannie Murphy. And to continue having this great coffee and fellowship in the hall, we need coffee service for next month, March. So if you ladies and gentlemen love your coffee, someone raise your hand and volunteer, or we may not have coffee. So think about it. You have a couple weeks, and let me know what's up. Thanks.
I forgot to mention, if you definitely know you're coming for the activity night next Sunday, please sign up so we have a little idea of numbers to plan for. Before we go to God's word and message today, will you please join me in a word of prayer to our God? Lord our God, we praise you today. Praise you for your mercies to us, for the enjoyments of living life in this world and all the goodness that you provide for us, all the many beautiful things we can see around us and in the lives of others. We praise you as the author of our salvation, the one who has the plan for our lives. And so fill us each week with a sense of awe of you and what you have done and are doing for us, and draw us close to you, filling our hearts with your love, that we might show that love and fellowship with others around us. So, Lord, help us in that task as we think more about that today and celebrate that love that's in our hearts. to know and love one another, to believe in the sincerity of each one here as a body of Christ. Bless us in the sincerity and wanting to serve you, our Master, even though we fail you in so many ways. But help us to try to understand the viewpoints of others, why they believe what they believe and why they do what they do. And in this way, O Lord, increase our love for one another, increase our unity and our bond of fellowship, uniting us around that common faith, the faith that salvation is only through you, our Lord Jesus. And so it's in you that we rejoice and we give thanks. We ask that you would guide us in the ministry that you have given to us. Give a clear vision of things you want us to accomplish. Bless the opportunities that we have for growing in you. Bless the opportunities that are there for extending and receiving care from one another here. Help all of our deeds of kindness and mercy be genuine. Thank you, O Lord, for all those who are serving in various ways and for the gifts that you have given each one of us to minister in your name, to bless the lives of others. From coffee serving to teaching, to leadership and council and on committees. We thank you for all these things, dear Lord, and we ask your blessing upon them. We especially pray for our pastor search process and the committee that is working diligently and praying diligently. And as we join them in prayer and join together in prayer for this, Lord, we ask that you would lead us to the right person. And that through listening of sermons and through interviews and hearing them speak, that we would not only know what they know, but hear their heart and feel their heart for pastoring and for your church. Bless us too as we seek a worship coordinator, that you would lead and guide through that process too as well, Lord. Father, we pray that you would also be near to those who are struggling in their lives for various reasons. We ask for your comfort and peace for Lawrence and Teresa and the loss of their baby, and ask, O Lord, that you would provide a way for them in due time, at some point, to hold a baby in their arms. Continue to give strength and healing to Shay and to Drew. Help Shay to be able to get full use of his arms through your healing. Help Drew to be able to have full use of his legs and walk well. Thank you for what you have done or are doing in their lives even now, Lord. We pray for those struggling with cancer. For Eileen Meyer and Joy Dowderive and LaVon Hammonds. We thank you for your work of strength in their lives that they have experienced, but Lord, we ask for continued mercy in healing them and strengthening them from day to day. We pray, Lord, that you would bless Diana McFarland's daughter and unborn child, that you keep her daughter well and free of health problems, and that you'd also keep her baby healthy and well, and you might hold a healthy baby coming up in May. And so, Lord, we commend them to you as well. And for other needs, Lord, that we're not aware of and that others might be struggling with, whether here or those we know outside of this congregation, whether in family or workplace, oh, Lord, be merciful and provide for their needs in whatever way we can be of encouragement, Lord. Help us to be open and willing servants of yours, to be encouragers to them. So, Lord, bless us now as we hear your word and as we continue on in this service, that our hearts might be open to you and that we might listen and obey. Work in us by your Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. This morning I'd like to read from Matthew 22. And then I'm going to be using another text out of 1 John as we go through the message. And if you were here last week, you remember that Roy Spoolstra preached on this text as well. And I was already thinking about this text prior to him coming, so I was sitting on the edge of my seat just wondering, you know, if I was going to have to, you know, change my focus. But I realized as he went through his sermon, as he finished up, he was only focusing on one piece of this text, and I was really intending to focus more on the latter half of this text. But this is the text from Matthew 22. As the Pharisees were challenging Jesus with the question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." See if we can get this going here. Go one more slide. There we go. I saw a sign this week as I was driving about for my hospice work. And the sign, we got to see if we can get this going here. There we go. The sign said, "Born to love." Born to love. Now, it probably didn't have the same meaning that I was reading into it, because I was thinking about this message, because it was a pro-life sign. It was a pro-life sign to say that babies are born to be loved. So born to love. We are to love them. But we can also say that one purpose of our lives is to love. This text, I think, makes that clear, and other texts in Scripture are saying we are born to love. We are born to give and even receive love. There are plenty of love songs out there, as you know. Thinking about this Valentine's weekend, we focus on that romantic love. And a lot of the love songs are stressing that love is quite important. "All I need is love," or "Love makes the world go round." And I ask you today, are you willing to believe that today, that love is our purpose, one of the purposes of our lives? And love makes the world go round? Certainly, as we think about popular culture kind of message about love, it's talking a lot about the feeling of love, and it sounds so soft and mushy and even shallow, perhaps. Now, that's just one element, the feeling of love. But when we look at Scripture and the Scripture's teaching on love, it is saying it's to be all important in our lives, but it's not the popular cultural definition of love, which is about feelings. No, it's God's definition of love. And so on this Valentine's weekend, with the emphasis on love, let's think about God's love, be challenged, and celebrate this biblical love. Here are some of the fundamentals of loving others. This isn't the last word on love. Just give focus to what it is to love others. And the first thing is to love God. That's really the starting point for loving others, is to love God. In fact, to really be in love with God. It's more than just a knowledge thing. It's a heart thing. In fact, the psalmist in Psalm 18 says, "I love you, Lord, my strength." He says the words. And Matthew 22, as we read, is saying that we are to love God with our whole being. And as I mentioned, Roy Spoelstra preached on this last week, and he was putting an emphasis on this part, on putting God first in our lives. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point, but it is the starting point. God is the source of love. And God, as the source of love, fills us with His love, and in showing us His love, He teaches us and He inspires us to love others. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And it's very obvious there, this strong connection, that if we're showing love to those around us, this biblical love, it says God is in our heart. God is coming through. And so today, if you are feeling like you're having difficulty loving others, if you're feeling like your relationships are falling apart or aren't going anywhere, then here's an invitation, hearing God's word today, to focus on your relationship to God, getting to know God better and His love for you. It may even be just getting real serious about God in your life and learning what His love is about and opening our hearts to letting Him teach us what it is to love. God even sets the example of what is at the heart of this true love and its self-sacrifice. And both in Matthew and in 1 John, the word that's used for love there is the Greek word agape, or agapao. And that word, the meaning of that word, has to do with self-sacrifice, with action and commitment. As it says in 1 John 4, continuing on, verses 9 and 10, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He gave up Himself. He was put on the cross, all for you and me. We know that message. But imagine giving up your life to death for someone. There are those who have done that. And this Lord's Supper meal, as we remember Christ's sacrifice and celebrate and give thanks for His love for us, is a visual message of Jesus' act of self-sacrifice and going to the cross for us. We also have the gospel's testimony of this self-sacrifice in so many ways in Jesus' life on earth. He loved the unlovable, the lepers, the tax collectors, the adulterers, and even His enemies, as He uttered those words from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." He had compassion on hungry crowds. He wept for the wayward Jerusalem. He gathered children to His side, and He healed the sick, all out of love. And He even spoke confrontational words to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees because He loved them. He wanted to bring them to a path of a relationship with God, on a right path, having a proper relationship with God and receiving the grace of salvation that comes from God. So love God. That's first and foremost for us to love others. And then love self. It says there in verse 39, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes I think we just kind of push that one aside because we don't quite understand what that means. Believe me, I'm not advocating for egotism or self-centeredness, and neither does Scripture. But it does say, love your neighbor as yourself. We find this in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19, verse 34. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. How are we to understand this? I think the first thing to think about is the qualities of love for others. Love involves trust, right? Trust. You're willing to depend on another person. They're willing to depend on you. They believe that what you say is true, and they're willing to depend on those things. So there's that trust. There's respect. There's transparency. That openness is also to knowing the qualities of the other person, both the good and the bad. Right? I love pickled herring. My wife hates it. She thinks it's disgusting, but she loves me anyway. I leave my clothes piled up on the floor next to my bed, maybe for weeks on end. My wife hates that, but she loves me anyway. And eventually I get to it. And there's more serious things than that, but we won't go into all those things. But you love in spite of the flaws and the weaknesses and the quirks of another person. But you know them, you're open to knowing that person. And overall and underneath is just seeing the other person as the image bearer of God. So just think about the qualities of love for others. But then think about what happens when you don't love yourself. Taking those qualities, when you don't love yourself, when you don't see yourself as an image bearer of God, or think about what happens if I don't know and accept myself. What if you or I are trying to be someone we are not? What if we don't respect ourselves? The result is the numerous things and destructive things that happen to us, and it goes on within us. The result, one thing, is your sense of self-worth crumbles. You try to get your worth through other people. Right? You're always striving to get that affirmation from other people, and you're not standing on your own two feet and finding a certain confidence in yourself. Not an egotistical confidence, we're not talking about that, but just knowing yourself, knowing who you are, knowing the gifts God has blessed you with. A person who doesn't accept themselves and have that certain sense of self-worth also can be very indecisive. They don't trust yourself. Indecisive about many things or everything. Very indecisive. Or you can easily succumb to harming things that do harm to your body, like drugs and alcohol addictions. Or you just generally don't take care of yourself in any fashion, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, because you don't have a respect for who you are. And if those things are occurring in your life and happening in your life, how can you truly love others? You don't have a lot to give. And this is why I list this today as a fundamental for loving others and understanding what it says in Matthew to love your neighbor as yourself. Enables that capacity to bring love to others. Thirdly, this morning, when we think about this love that we're talking about, as I mentioned before, the agape love, it's a word of action. It's a word of commitment. Now we say the words, I love you, and it's important to say those words and to hear those words. How many husbands and wives said that this weekend? At least. No doubt you did. Said, I love you. We know those words are important. It's part of expressing the emotions of love, but the essence of love is this action, this commitment that is shown through action. And without this, the words, I love you, mean nothing. They are empty. This is even true in our relationship to God. In Matthew 7:21, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. There's action there. And then when we read further in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, it says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another, take action, and love. So love is about acting. It's about doing specific things. Love is very practical. As it says in 1 John chapter 3, If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? In other words, that love gets expressed in kindness to other people. When we see a need, we respond and we act. John doesn't leave love in the abstract. It becomes very practical. That's one of the things that I love about this church, is you love to do acts of service. And we're trying to give focus to that and provide opportunities for that for us even more. Love is inclusive. Think of the Good Samaritan story. Many of you know that story in Luke chapter 10, where different people came by to help this man who was robbed and beaten. First ones were religious folks, and they passed right on. The last one to help was someone who anyone would have thought would have just walked on by and should not have been helping that person. This story shows that neither religious differences or ethnic differences or economic differences are to keep one from acting in love towards others. Even the unlikable and even the enemies, even our enemies, are to be loved. Listen to these verses out of Matthew 5 in regards to this. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? And we think, really? We know how hard it is to somebody who doesn't even really like us, and yet if even our enemy, we're to love them. That's the extent and the power and the miracle of God's love within us, that we have the capacity to do that. And even more in this text, it kind of says that our love is to stand out above the rest. It's to go against the grain, perhaps, of what most people do. So love is inclusive. It's also inclusive in the sense that this love is to go out to all people. It's to go out to our husband, our wife, other family, our friends, our coworkers, our boss, our employees, fellow church members, strangers, and even enemies. That's how inclusive it is. Love is also about service. Very similar to the first point I made about being very practical. But listen to Philippians chapter 2, where it shows so well and talks about the example of Jesus' servanthood. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. We know the extent of that. It's demonstrated here in this table of he gave his very life in service to us for our salvation. Again, love acts. Love is trying to meet a need of those around us. Love is unconditional. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, many times we place conditions on our love. If you do this, then I will act more this way towards you. We might not say it outright, but subconsciously, those things come out. We place conditions on our love. God acts and accepts without conditions first. While we were still sinners, Christ gave up his life for us. We didn't first have to become to a certain level of goodness or righteousness. He died. He died for all. that all might receive that love and that grace from him. He doesn't love anticipating something in return. When you think about all I said, it's not things you haven't heard before. It's not complicated things. But it is the heart of who we are as human beings, as Christians, that love is to be in our hearts and shown and acted upon towards others. So this morning, as we close this message, I want you to ponder God's love for you. There's no strings attached to that. He gave his all for you. I want you to be overwhelmed by that love. We weren't good and lovable people first, but he acted in love towards us. And love is his essence, and it's that kind of love that is to be there in our hearts. It's to be who we are as people, as Christians. It is to be self-evident, all those around us. As a church, as you know, we've laid out two objectives for us in terms of our own growth and health as a congregation. The first is grow a greater sense of unity between the family of believers in worship, and all worshipers leave the service with a stronger connection to God. First is that God focus. And secondly, the horizontal focus, broadening, that is increasing the number of, and deepening, moving past the superficial, the relationships of the body of believers at Crossroads. Really, these are about loving God and loving others. And I want you to think how you personally can contribute to these objectives. We are trying to do so as a church and give some direction to that and provide some different activities and opportunities for growing. But think about how you personally can contribute to those. We all have certain patterns of the way we love. Good patterns. We are loving people. We are practicing that. But it may be that we are in a certain rut in our lives and we have some blind spots. And so the message today is to help bring that more to the foreground and challenge us. And so I invite you to this little assignment this week. First of all, any age can practice this. First of all, list the ways that you do love. Just brainstorm all the ways that you show love. Celebrate those as ways God has worked in your life. Give God thanks for those ways. But then, make another list and challenge yourself to think outside the box. What are some different acts of love or even different people toward whom I can show love? It's a little exercise. And just to sum up this morning, all that's been said, as we give focus to love, I want us to watch this call to love, the video clip. This call to love is based on 1 Corinthians 13. Let us now give thanks for God's love and in this opportunity to show our love for others in terms of the ministry of this church by giving of our offering, the offering for the general fund for the line item of Christian education is now received. And would you also please pass the friendship folder from the center aisles to the outside. And if you're a guest with us and willing to share some information with us, we'd love to just send you a welcome letter and tell you more about our church if possible. For all those this morning who confess their sins to the Lord and believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Lord, you're invited and welcome to join with us in celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper here this morning. Would you join me, first of all, in this responsive reading of thanksgiving? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To Him who alone does great wonders.
His love
He remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
And freed us from our enemies.
His love endures forever.
He gives food to every creature.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
His love endures forever.
As we come to this table, in the breaking of bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread that strengthens us unto eternal life. In the cup of blessing, he comes to us as the vine in whom we must abide if we are to bear fruit. We come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a pledge and a foretaste of the feast of love, of which we shall all take part in when his kingdom has fully come. When with unveiled face we shall behold him, made like unto him in his glory. Since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ has obtained for us the life-giving Spirit who unites us all in one body, so we are to receive this supper in true love, mindful of the communion of the saints. Hear the words of institution of this Holy Supper. Our Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. And so, in preparing our hearts as we take of this meal, I invite you to a prayer of consecration and also to join with me in the Lord's Prayer at the conclusion of this. It will be up on the screen if you need that. Let us pray. O Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love, being a living sacrifice as you so demonstrated to us. We pray that you would gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." As we pass the bread, we remember that this bread is to confirm to us and remind us that the body of Christ was broken for you and for me. You're invited to sing with it if you like, or just sit and listen. And so, people of God, take this bread, remembering and believing that the body of our Lord Jesus was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. With thanksgiving, then, we also pass and receive the cup, which confirms to us, reminds us that the blood of Christ was shed as a covering over all our sins.
Lamb of thee.
Take this cup then, remembering and believing that the blood of Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins unto eternal life. I invite you to stand now with me for prayer and closing benediction. And after the prayer, I have just a very brief announcement before we go into our closing song. Let us join in prayer together. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, uniting us with Christ, and giving us a foretaste of that heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out now in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. And now, O Lord, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen. As you go out this morning, I was thinking of some way I could just maybe express one little act of love towards you. And what I wanted to share with you is Claire's famous monster cookies. And so she mostly, she did all the baking and I helped package them up, but they're individually wrapped and they'll be at the doors. So take just one for now, make sure we have enough for everybody, but there's likely a little bit more. So feel free to take one and enjoy this morning. And part of love, right, is just surprising people, right? And so this is a little surprise for you today.
You're my joy, my righteousness.